All right, get ready, because today we're going deep on a property law case. And get this, a single minute at the county recorder's office made all the difference.
Wow, okay.
We're looking at Hartig v. Strapman, a neighbor dispute in Indiana, all over a shared driveway that turned into a total legal showdown.
You know, what's really interesting about this case is it's not just about who's right or wrong, you know? It's a perfect example of how the strategy you use and all those technicalities that people sometimes gloss over, they can really make or break a case.
So let's set the stage here. Two neighbors, Hartig and the Strapmans, living in Evansville, Indiana. They share a driveway, but here's the kicker. Most of it's actually on Hartig's property.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you're already sensing the trouble, and this is where easements come in. An easement gives someone the right to use someone else's property for a specific purpose, like this shared driveway. But as this case shows, proving that you have a valid easement, well, it can be a real headache.
So the Strapmans, wanting to make sure they could keep using that driveway, they sued Hartig back in 1998. They first went with an adverse possession claim, basically arguing they'd earned ownership through years of using the driveway.
Right, but that strategy, it hit a wall. The court dismissed their adverse possession claim because they couldn't actually meet all the legal requirements for it. And this is where things get interesting. Instead of just giving up, the Strapmans decided to switch up their legal tactics.
Now, hold on a second. Can you just change your whole argument like that? Seems a bit like changing the rules of the game right in the middle of it.
It's a good question, and it brings up a legal concept called election of remedies. Now, that doctrine can limit you from switching strategies, but only after a final judgment. And the key here, that first claim was dismissed pretty early on. It wasn't a final judgment, so the Strapmans, they had the chance to amend their complaint and try a new angle.
So like a second chance.
Exactly.
Really shows how those procedural rules, they can be a game changer.
Oh, absolutely. Hartig v. Strapman is a textbook example. Winning in court often means adapting, being flexible, and strategically changing your approach.
So let's get to the details of that easement agreement. The Strapmans claimed there was an agreement, but was it really binding on Hartig? That's where that 1 minute thing comes in, right?
You got it. That tiny detail, that's at the core of this whole thing. The easement agreement was recorded just 1 minute after Hartig's predecessor, a guy named Holmes, acquired the property. And right there, that's where the chain of title doctrine comes in and throws a wrench in everything.
Okay, chain of title. Break that down for me. Why is it so important in this case?
Imagine it's like a family tree for a piece of land, tracing the entire ownership history. When you buy a property, you're expected to know about anything recorded in that chain of title. It's all about what a reasonable buyer should be aware of.
So where does Hartig fit into all of this? Should he have known about this easement?
That's the big question. Because that easement was recorded after Holmes got the deed, it wasn't part of Hartig's chain of title. He had no way of knowing about this agreement when he bought the property.
So he's being held responsible for something he couldn't have known. Doesn't seem fair.
And the court agreed with that. They said a buyer like Hartig, he should only be on the hook for what's recorded in the chain of title. They even said Hartig's title search wouldn't have uncovered this easement. Pretty clear they were on his side there.
So a 1 minute difference in recording time changes everything. Wow.
This case really shows why those super detailed title searches are so crucial. You just never know what legal landmines might be hiding in a property's history. A tiny detail like a late recording can lead to a massive legal battle years later.
So does this mean Hartig won the whole case outright? End of story?
Well, not so fast. While the court sided with him on the easement, it wasn't completely over. He tried to have the whole thing dismissed with a summary judgment, basically asking the court to rule in his favor without a full-blown trial, because there's no real debate about the facts.
And that didn't work? Why not?
It's not that simple. The court said, yeah, the easement on Hartig's land was invalid, but there was still that trespass claim, specifically on the Strapman's part of the driveway. That part was left unresolved.
Wait, I'm a little lost. If the easement doesn't apply, how can there still be a trespass issue?
It's a good question, and it shows how complex this case really is. Keep in mind, we're only looking at court documents, not the actual events. We don't know how Hartig was supposedly blocking the Strapmans, only that their complaint was about their section of the driveway.
So, hypothetically, he could have been doing something on his land that indirectly messed with their access.
Exactly. Even though the easement was off the table, his actions could still be trouble if they interfered with the Strapmans using their part of the driveway.
So, a win for Hartig, but this trespass issue is still hanging over him. This case is turning into a real legal thriller. Before we get into what happens next, There was this mention of a concurring opinion from a Judge Robb. What was that all about?
Oh, that's an important detail. While Judge Robb agreed that the easement on Hartig's land wasn't valid, he added his own thoughts. He suggested that the trespass claim might be legit if it involved Hartig blocking the Stratmans from using their section of the driveway.
So even though the judges agreed on the easement, they had different takes on the trespass claim.
Exactly. And that's what makes legal cases so fascinating. Even when judges agree overall, they can see the finer points differently. And those differences can change the outcome. This case is a prime example of how tricky property disputes can get.
This is all really interesting. So what happens with the Stratmans and their claim? Do they stand a chance? Guess we'll have to find out in part two of this deep dive.
Welcome back. So we were talking about the Stratmans' trespass claim, specifically that part about their own section of the driveway that was still up in the air.
It's wild how this case comes down to these little details. Like 1 minute at the recorder's office or a tiny section of the driveway. Ooh. Property law is like a game of inches, huh?
You got it. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Remember, we're only working with court documents, not actually seeing what happened. We don't know for sure how Hartig was supposedly blocking them, just that the claim focused on their property.
So could it be that Hartig was doing something on his land that messed with their use of their part of the driveway? Even if he wasn't blocking it directly, I mean?
That's definitely possible. Even though the easement on his land was a no-go, his actions could still affect the Stratmans. Maybe he built something that got in their way or changed the drainage and that impacted their property. We just can't know for sure from what we have.
Shows how property law is rarely clear-cut. It's about balancing everyone's interests and realizing actions on one property can ripple out to others.
Exactly. Property owners have rights, sure, but they're not unlimited. You can't use your property in a way that steps on your neighbor's rights to enjoy theirs. That's a big deal in property law.
Okay, so what about that trespass claim? Did it go to trial? Did we get a resolution on this whole driveway mess?
Well, the documents we have don't really say what happened with the trespass issue. Remember, this was an interlocutory appeal, meaning it went back to the trial court. We only have the appeals court's decision on the easement and the procedures.
So, a bit of a cliffhanger. We know the court made some big decisions, but the final chapter is missing.
Yeah, we're left wondering, did they settle? Did they work it out? Or did they go through a whole trial for the trespass? We just don't know.
Even without a clear ending, this case is eye-opening. Shows how even simple property fights can become these huge legal battles. So many twists and turns.
Absolutely. Hartig v. Stratman is a prime example of why you got to understand property law inside and out. That chain of title, doctrine, recording documents, right, it all matters so much.
Makes you think a simple chat between neighbors about the driveway could have saved everyone a ton of time, money, and stress.
You know, you hit on something there. We focus on the law, but a lot of disputes could be avoided if people just talked and compromised. Being good neighbors goes a long way.
So, for our listeners, especially those of us dealing with property, law, or real estate all the time, what are the big takeaways here?
Number one, gotta do those thorough title searches. Don't just skim it. Dig deep into that chain of title and make sure you get every detail. You never know what's hiding that could mess up a deal or start a fight.
Like being a legal detective, right? Gotta piece together the property's history and make sure there are no surprises lurking.
Perfect analogy. And secondly, don't underestimate those procedural rules. Knowing how and when to do things in court, like amend stuff, file motions, all that, can totally change a case's outcome.
It's not enough to be right. You gotta be right within the system. You gotta play the game smart.
You got it. And lastly, those legal documents need to be crystal clear and complete. When you're writing up easements, agreements, anything about property, every word counts. Get it all recorded properly so there's no room for confusion or arguments later.
So thorough searches, knowing the procedures, and ironclad agreements, the golden rules of property law.
Couldn't have said it better. And for those listening who aren't lawyers, Hartig v. Stratman is a cautionary tale. Whether you're buying property or dealing with shared use with neighbors, get a lawyer involved. A good attorney helps you understand your rights and handle all the complexities of property law.
Good advice. We've covered a ton in this deep dive, but there's one more interesting bit we need to look at, Judge Robb's concurring opinion. What it tells us about how judges interpret the law, sometimes in subtle ways.
That's a great point. His opinion adds a whole new layer to this case. We should definitely explore it.
Let's get into that in the final part of our Hartig v. Stratman deep dive. All right, welcome back. We've been digging into Hartig v. Stratman, a case that really shows how complicated even a simple property dispute can get. easements, chain of title, procedural rules, we've covered a lot. But there's one last piece to look at, Judge Robb's concurring opinion.
Right. Even though he agreed with the majority about that easement on Hardig's part of the driveway being no good, his separate opinion adds a whole other wrinkle to the case.
Yeah. What was it about his take that was so interesting? I remember it had something to do with the trespass issue.
Exactly. Remember, Hardig tried to get the whole case thrown out, but that didn't work because of the trespass claim about the Strat man's own part of the driveway.
Judge Robb suggested that if Hardig was blocking that specific part, even though it wasn't his land, the Strat man's claim could maybe keep going. So even if the easement was out on Hardig's land, what he did on his property could still be trespass if it directly messed with the Strat man's using their own section. It all comes down to the exact spot, not just who owns what.
Exactly. Judge Robb's opinion shows just how nuanced property rights can be. It's not always a clear my land versus your land situation. Sometimes you have to look at the specific actions, how they affect the neighbor's rights.
It makes you realize judges aren't just following a script. They think about things differently, and those small differences can matter.
Totally agree. And this case is a great example of how concurring opinions can help us understand the law better. They give us different viewpoints, clear things up, and sometimes even pave the way for future legal changes.
So for our listeners, especially those who might be dealing with property disputes themselves, what's the big takeaway?
I'd say pay attention to the details. Property law is often about very specific actions, places, and times. What seems small, like blocking a small part of a driveway, can have big legal effects.
And it shows why getting a lawyer involved early is so important. A good lawyer can help you understand your rights and prevent small disagreements from becoming big court battles.
Couldn't agree more. Getting help early on is key. It often leads to better results, whether that's through talking it out, mediation, or having a solid legal plan.
As we wrap up our deep dive into Hardig v. Stratman, what's the one thing you hope sticks with our listeners?
I think this case is a reminder that property law is more than just boundaries on a map. It's about balancing rights, responsibilities, and interests. And those things can collide in surprising and complex ways.
It really brings it home that those property law classes in law school were about real stuff. They prepared us for the real world of easements, boundaries, and neighbor disputes, where things can come down to a single minute, a few inches of land, or a judge's unique take on the law.
Well said. Hardig v. Stratman is a case that makes you think about property rights in a deeper way. It shows that even in seemingly straightforward areas of the law, there's always more to the story.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back next time with another fascinating look into the world of law.